Chayka knew that the risks in such exploration ran high, and that ExxonMobil's record was unproven. About the Hungary leases, he told Russell Gold of the Wall Street Journal in July 2009, just as secret talks between ExxonMobil and XTO were about to start. "Depending on how that goes, we'll either be patting ourselves on the back or walking away." Tillerson kept the XTO negotiations so secret that even Chayka did not know about them. Chayka kept working to compete with XTO on North American gas leases, even as the merger talks ripened. Tillerson faced a clear choice. Would it be smarter to keep trying to find North American unconventional gas, or would it be better to use ExxonMobil's massive cash and treasury share positions to buy in? ExxonMobil brimmed with cash. The corporation carried more than $30 billion in cash on its balance sheet. Plus, by 2009, it held in its treasury more than 3.2 billion shares of its own stock, with a market value of more than $220 billion, which it had repurchased over the years from the open market and set aside for possible use in acquisitions. During the Great Recession and financial panic that followed the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, many American banks, corporations, and their employees worried week by week about whether their businesses might go under. Rex Tillerson's greatest worry during the dark September of Lehman's collapse, he later confessed, was whether ExxonMobil's massive cash deposits were parked in banks that would survive the crisis. As the global financial system teetered, ExxonMobil shuffled its billions to safe havens and waited for the economic storm to pass. "Good morning, and I want to thank all of you for joining us today," Rex Tillerson said into a speaker set before him. "ExxonMobil and XTO Energy Incorporated have announced an all-stock transaction valued at $41 billion. This is not a near-term decision, obviously. This is about the next 10 to 20 to 30 years of what we believe has now emerged as a very important part of the global resource portfolio. It's going to be important to meeting energy supply, and that's the real value creation that we see." It was December 14, 2009. The secret talks with Simpson and the senior team at XTO had not leaked. ExxonMobil retained the investment bank J.P. Morgan and the Wall Street law firm of Davis Polk & Wardwell to lead its side of the negotiations. XTO retained Barclays Capital and the longtime mergers law firm Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meagher & Flom. Tillerson initially proposed to pay a modest 15% premium over the market price for XTO shares. Simpson said that would not be acceptable. Each side prepared valuation ranges based on forecasts of varying natural gas prices in the future, and their merger bankers prepared charts showing prices paid in comparable mergers in the energy industry and in other sectors. Once the deal became public, another acquirer might swoop in to try to overbid ExxonMobil. So in one of their periodic meetings, Tillerson extracted an agreement from Simpson that XTO would pay a breakup fee of $900 million if the merger were not completed. In the end, they circled in on a price agreement by which ExxonMobil would pay about 25% above XTO's average stock market price during the month before the announcement. That seemed an uncontroversial compromise. It was the median premium above market price paid in U.S. corporate transactions greater than $10 billion since January 1, 1998, according to a Barclays analysis. In a tax-free exchange of shares, ExxonMobil effectively paid $51.69 per share for XTO. During the final weeks, they had also wrestled over the employment terms required to retain top XTO executives and engineers, who had grown accustomed to the get-rich stock options doled out by Bob Simpson. They would now have to adjust to the more conservative compensation rules at ExxonMobil. To retain XTO's top five executives long enough to manage a smooth transition, Tillerson restructured their compensation contracts and wrote rich new consulting agreements that linked continued performance to millions of dollars in stock and cash over the next several years, including a total of $84 million for Simpson, $48 million for XTO Chief Executive Keith Hutton, $37 million for Senior Executive Vaughn Vennerberg. Tillerson said he decided to buy XTO in part because ExxonMobil's corporate planning department forecasted rising natural gas demand. Climate change legislation in Congress was collapsing, and it was not easy to see when it might be revived. But in the medium run, higher carbon prices imposed by regulators, as already had been laid down in Europe and announced in Australia, still seemed very likely. If enacted, they would hurt coal and help natural gas. Mandates in the United States for more renewable energy, such as wind and solar power, also complemented natural gas investments because gas-fired electric plants could address, with relatively low emissions, the intermittency problem posed by renewable. Intermittency referred to the fact that the wind did not always blow and the sun did not always shine, and so electricity generated from those sources could be erratic. Complementary gas-fired electricity could keep currents flowing on calm, rainy days. Also, the megawatt-per-hour cost of gas-generated electricity looked favorable when compared with nuclear and unsubsidized renewable sources, and it could be competitive, too, with coal. Tillerson insisted that ExxonMobil's shift toward natural gas through the XTO purchase was not a deliberate strategy to favor gas over oil. In fact, ExxonMobil was nearing the point where it would own on its own books more natural gas than oil. During the decade leading to 2010, ExxonMobil had replaced, on average, only 95% of the oil it pumped out and sold each year, but it had replaced, on average, 158% of the gas it extracted and sold. After incorporating XTO's reserves, 45% of ExxonMobil's reported reserves would be gas. Tillerson claimed that ExxonMobil's disciplined systems and technology applications could extract high profit value from either oil or gas, but in the industry, gas was often less profitable to produce than oil for a host of reasons, not least the low prices plaguing American gas producers after 2008. Conoco forecasted that American gas prices would remain mired at relatively low levels and would not return to the boom prices of 2007 and 2008 anytime soon. Shell's forecasters were a little more optimistic, but also cautious. A PowerPoint produced by analysts at the Society of Petroleum Evaluation Engineers in Houston noted that ExxonMobil's purchase of XTO was based on the assumption that much higher natural gas prices were coming in the future, and yet there was considerable risk in shale plays because of uncertain geological and commercial factors. Reserves are overstated, the presentation continued. Costs are understated. The gold rush mentality destroys capital and ensures the rule of expediency over science and risk management.